Good evening. It is February 16th, 2022, in compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act. This is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice was posted on the Township website, distributed to the 100 in Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the 100 County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Would you please rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence in honor of our first responders and servicemen and women.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So, in recent meetings, previous meetings, notably 2 weeks ago, we took up a discussion of a 2019 application for medical cannabis during the debate on the minutes, and I'd like to put that matter to rest during this period now. So Beverly Kohler, followed by Tom McKee, over the recent months have manufactured a controversy about a medical cannabis application in 2019. Note that this is not the recreational cannabis which the committee opted out of last year. Bev and Tom have been repeating false claims, supporting them with anonymous rumors, twisting people's words, and really worst, in my opinion, disparaging people with false innuendo. As several residents have said in public comments, these are volunteers who have been the targets of these tactics. This needs to stop for the good of the township. It wastes taxpayers' resources, costing significant money, apparently for some personal agenda or to try to settle political scores. Recently, you, Tom and Bev, have been justifying actions by claiming to be champions of saving taxpayer money, but you think nothing of burning tens of thousands of dollars on OPA requests and arguing with our own attorney, refusing to accept his advice, sometimes because you're just being stubborn and sometimes because you think you know better because you read something on the internet. In the matter of the 2019 cannabis application, I'd like to present the facts. Written documents, not hearsay or speculation rumors. I will show that there is nothing behind the allegations you've been repeating for months. I will leave it for the voters to decide if you knew you've been manufacturing a fake controversy, or if at least you should have known, or if you were peddling lies for some personal reasons. In any case, the fact is you had the facts and could have known the facts, but apparently never took the time or effort to understand the facts. Let me start with what was sort of a gotcha claim that Ms. Kohler's been repeating for months, that she never had this letter from 2019. She claimed she didn't have it until 2021 when she received it from the lawyer representing the applicant. I challenged her even last meeting. She claimed, when I challenged her, actually, Mr. Law and even Mr. McKee stated they had known of the letter years ago. Bev flatly stated, I checked, I never had the letter. And then she and Tom built a whole story that I'm too strong and the letter needed committee authorization and there's corruption all around. Well, I have the letter. I have the letter right here. I also have the email that was sent with the letter. The email was sent to Ms. Kohler, Mr. McKee, Mr. Lal, Mr. Wonder, who was on the committee then, with a copy to Karen Sandor so the clerk would have ready access to the information. The email is dated August 9th, 2019. So much for Ms. Kohler's lie that she did not have the letter until 2021. How's that for gotcha? For the record, this letter was forwarded 86 minutes after I received it from our attorney. So nothing was delayed, nothing was withheld. Along with the letter, I forwarded the one and only email I'd received from the resident which described their plans. So the committee was fully informed about the medical cannabis application within 90 minutes of my receipt of the letter in 2019. Let me deal with the lies they built up around the letter, that as mayor I exceeded the authority of the office. Let me clearly state the background. In 2019, the township residents were requesting a zoning permit to grow medical cannabis on their property. Zoning permits do not come to the township committee. Zoning permits go to the zoning officer, exactly where this process started. When he determined that he needed guidance on the law, he brought it to the Planning Zoning Board secretary, who brought in the attorney for the Planning and Zoning Board. That attorney felt the municipal attorney should also be involved. So all of these people were involved over the course of a few days because of the short deadline of the resident. They were administratively doing their job, attempting to provide fair service to the resident, who also had a short deadline. On August 1st, 2019, I received an introductory email from the resident informing me that they were applying for a medical cannabis cultivation license on their township property. That is the email I forwarded to this whole committee in 2019. The resident indicated they were on a short-time deadline. They only had a few days for their application to be due at the state. And through their attorney, they had already requested a meeting with the zoning officer, the planning board attorney, as part of the request for a zoning permit. In order to promptly understand what the resident needed and what the township might be able to provide, a meeting with between the resident and their attorney, with the township zoning officer, planning board attorney, planning board secretary, municipal attorney, and myself took place in this room a few days later. The result of the discussion was the letter that Ms. Kohler claimed she did not have, but in fact had received on the same day it was sent. Let me read the letter so everyone can understand that it did not give any approval, nor did it set any policy. If you recall last meeting, neither Ms. Kohler nor Mr. McKee were familiar with the letter, and the clerk had not been asked for the letter. She said she wasn't aware for sure if she had it or not. Ms. Kohler actually said last meeting that it didn't matter what was in the letter. Her allegation was about the process. But the facts of the resident's request and the content of the letter drove the process. The facts don't seem to matter when Ms. Kohler and Mr. McKee want to drum up false claims. If Ms. Kohler and Mr. McKee had done any background checking before creating this false controversy, they would have understood this. So here's the letter addressed to the attorney for the applicant. Dear Mr. Grunberg, it's three paragraphs long. I'm writing in response to your letter dated August 1st, 2019, requesting the issuance of a zoning permit to operate an indoor facility to grow medical marijuana at the above-referenced location. I should also point out, this letter is drafted by the township attorney, not by me. I'm copied on it along with the zoning officer as well as the planning board attorney. So the letter continues. It is the township's understanding that such a request is made in connection with Nitin Manglani, I apologize if I'm not pronouncing the G correctly, with his application to operate an alternative treatment center in the form of a medicinal cannabis cultivator's permit and pursuant to NJSA 246I72D4B, requiring a letter from the municipality that the location will, quote, conform to municipal zoning requirements, close quote, as part of such application. Second paragraph, based on my review of applicable township zoning ordinances and consultation with the zoning officer and land use board attorney, the above-referenced property is located in the Resource Conservation District, and agricultural uses are permitted in such zone pursuant to Township Ordinance 400-9A. Moreover, the township's ordinances do not explicitly prohibit the cultivation of medical marijuana. That is just factual information. The letter closes, please be advised that the proposed operation may be subject to site plan or variance approval by the Township Planning or Zoning Board. Then it just closes with thank you for your attention to this matter. Regards, Tara San Angelo. So, as you can tell, the letter of three paragraphs, the first paragraph just restates what the letter was about, namely that it responds to a request for a zoning permit. The second paragraph factually states the township has no ordinance prohibiting the cultivation of medical cannabis. The third paragraph explicitly states that no approval is given by the township. So claims that action was taken or needed to be authorized and that the committee should have been involved are completely without any merit or basis in fact. Or maybe those claims were made without understanding the zoning process. The fact that two attorneys for the township were involved in this letter should convince anyone that the matter was handled appropriately. A request for a zoning permit does not come before the township committee. I believe Beverly Kohler and Tom McKee owe an apology, not to me for their politically motivated false attacks, but to the residents and taxpayers for the waste of resources over the numerous meetings they have been making these false claims. Let me now turn to the controversy they manufactured last meeting about the policy of what should be in the township minutes. Tom and Bev ginned up a story that the mayor wanted to hide information from the public and limit free speech of the committee. A very dramatic attempt to smear me. So let me provide the public with some background and let them decide who's being fair and who's manufacturing the controversy. This discussion started with the minutes for the meeting on November 17, 2021, that were prepared by the clerk, provided to the committee at our December 15th meeting. At the December 15th meeting, I made the following statement about those minutes. And rather than paraphrase, I'll play it for you.
Gone back and forth with the policy on these minutes, and my understanding is the policy is that the minutes should reflect the topics stated, the action proposed, action taken, and we sometimes veer off into quasi-transcripts, and I think these 2 minutes have done that, and so I would request that we ask the We asked the clerk to redraft these minutes, taking out some of the non-action opinion sections.
So there was a constructive conversation about minutes and what minutes should include. And a little bit later in that same meeting, there was a motion made by Mr. Lall, seconded by Mr. McKee. Mr. Lall stated the motion was to relook at the November 17th minutes, to bring them back into the policy of being topics and points of discussion. And again, I will play that, and you'll hear the vote that was taken.
Is that a motion to relook at and bring them back into policy of being topics and just points of discussion?
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 So as you heard, the motion passed with unanimous support, having been seconded by Mr. McKee. There was no objection to asking the clerk to redraft the minutes to adhere to the policy that was just passed. Due to the reorganization meeting, those December 17th minutes were next presented to the committee at the January 21st meeting. However, despite the motion that you just heard that was passed and the direction to the clerk on December 15th, the clerk returned the minutes exactly the same as were presented on December 15th in that January 21st meeting. When I noted that there had been no changes, the clerk stated that she had not realized she was asked to redraft the minutes and she expected input from committee members. The minutes were tabled and the clerk suggested that the committee should each provide proposed edits to the clerk. Clearly, this is what set up the controversy at last meeting, since instead of the clerk editing the discussion, as I had hoped was going to happen, I was the only person to propose edits. That gave Tom and Bev the false premise to jump on me for silencing their words, continuing their practice of manufacturing controversy where none exists, wasting taxpayer time and resources. In fact, I was proposing edits to the policy unanimously toward the policy unanimously agreed just several weeks ago on December 15th. I would propose tonight that our first action be that we again vote on the policy, general policy for minutes. I will make a motion using the language provided at the last meeting by the Attorney Lyons, which is taken from the Open Public Meeting Act. The motion I would make is that minutes of meetings shall show the time and place, the members present, the subjects considered, the actions taken, and the vote of each member. Is there a second for that motion? And then we'll open it up to discussion.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Any
one
discussion?
Thing that, Mike, that I don't think that we agree on is there was never a public a committee discussion on that topic. There was never a committee vote on that topic of the 2019 letter that was sent. Resources were used at the committee level. That was the township attorney that was used at potentially a zoning or planning board issue. The committee here didn't vote on that. That's been my concern from day one. So I just want to make sure that everyone understands that portion of it, that I didn't see a discussion here to use resources of the township.
So the request came in August 1st. The letter was generated August 9th. There was no ability to have a committee discussion, and I'm not sure it required it. Our attorneys are involved with topics on a daily basis. So that's
the
difference.
I hope that
that's a difference.
This doesn't happen again.
I agree with that. Okay. We'll agree. Yeah. Fully agree with that.
Because, and especially the fact that that letter went to fulfill question number 14, which was for the governing body to weigh in on that application. And that
is
led
that
to
question 14 of the 2020 application or the
2019?
The 2019 application.
Yes.
We were never asked to weigh in. We were never presented with the application. I read you exactly what we were asked for, which was a zoning permit.
Well, you have to do your homework.
No, you have to know the facts. We were asked for a zoning permit. Any other discussion regarding the motion on the table for the minutes policy?
Could you repeat the motion?
The motion, as it comes from the Open Public Meeting Act, provided by the attorney last meeting. Minutes of meetings shall show the time and place, the members present, the subjects considered, the actions taken, and the vote of each member.
Is that what the minutes require as a minimum?
I would direct that to the attorney.
Are you asking if it's a floor or a ceiling?
Correct.
It's a floor.
So technically, we've been in compliance with the law. We just stated what motions were and who voted for them and what the result was. We don't do that, but at the same time, the intention of the minutes is not to be a transcript.
That's correct, but I think I would say that we certainly comply. The preamble, the main part of our minutes complies with the floor, the minimum requirement. It's the additional information. But I think it's also important to note, and I know this has been hotly debated. I've been here for it. Another requirement of the Open Public Meetings Act, and the clerk and I are both aware of this from our continuing training also, is that the minutes have to be promptly available. So I don't know where you land on this, and it's, you know, a decision that you have been elected to make with regard to the, you know, where you want to set this policy, but we need to set it, and we need to have the ability for the minutes to not only be submitted and approved, but then thereafter be made available to the public. And I had said before, the majority of Open Public Meeting Act litigation on minutes, it's a very narrow field, but the majority of it is really has to do with willful ignorance of the requirements. This is different. There's clearly, the record will show, it's been a hotly debated issue. However, at the end of it, we have minutes now that are months gone by, and I would just stress that whatever decision or agreement you can come to needs to happen as soon as possible, hopefully tonight, because, again, there is a requirement that they be promptly available, or else it prevents the knowledge of the public to be able to follow what goes on.
So we would run afoul of that requirement unless we approve these minutes. I mean, we can't keep backing up minutes for months and months at a time. You know, some of these minutes, well, I guess I was here for all of these, but when I first came, there were minutes, obviously, where I wasn't here, so I had to abstain. But
I think we've you know, and I had said earlier that there's no hard and fast line. The standard practice ordinarily is next meeting, and that's a target, which is certainly more than defensible. You can't really have them any faster, and there's obvious reason for delay or unavailability or legitimate dispute, which certainly there's legitimate dispute as to the content here. But again, we're undermining the point of the minutes if the public can't get them. If, you know, and they're not, just to broaden it, is until they are adopted, they're not available. There's a question as to whether draft minutes are available. As a legal matter, they're not, because they're not the record of the committee until the committee approves them.
I would say timing availability of the minutes hasn't been a problem. They normally come unless there's illness or something, a vacation once a year. The minutes come promptly. I think the focus of our debate is, and following up from last meeting, whether the minutes should be a transcript of everything spoken, whether it should be paraphrasing, which I think, as I've been saying for years now, that allows decisions on what's important, what they meant, what they didn't mean, or do we go with the base requirement and leave the recording stand to be the full record of exactly what people said?
Just to clarify, I wasn't making any representation that the draft minutes aren't presented in a timely fashion at all.
And I'm
aware that they are.
I don't think that's part of the
quite frankly in a very timely fashion. I'm just saying again that unless and until the minutes are approved, they're not available to the public, and that's where, as Mr. Wilson said, we run afoul of not only the intent of the statute, but the actual letter of it.
And I would state as well, to be as open as possible, we get the recordings up within a day or two. And there's no attempt to hide anything. It's just procedurally getting the minutes back to a meeting and getting them approved. But I think the The discussion tonight is the policy for what should be contained in the minutes. And as we voted unanimously in December, that it should be the topics, the votes taken, et cetera, that's the motion that is before us at the moment. Is there any other discussion on that motion?
Is there a time how long the audio has to, like, can you get rid of audio? Because it's not required to be up. People can over the audio.
Well,
I'm wondering, can audio be gotten rid of?
Audio is not required to be maintained.
Ever.
By state statute.
So in other
but
words,
we can pass a local ordinance to require that they never be purged.
I was going to say, because once that's one of my dilemmas, because once the clerk has transcribed the minutes from the audio, can you get rid of the audio, or does it have to stay for a while?
Yeah, you can. You can get rid of it.
Right.
I would propose if that's an issue that we pass.
There's no state requirement. It's not part of the standard retention requirements of the custodian.
But a local ordinance would.
If you want to define it as a public, if you want to define it as a public record and create that burden and that obligation, you can.
By ordinance.
Correct.
Well, certainly that wouldn't be an issue with storage, would it? We're talking about computer disks, flash drives,
whatever else they have today for this kind of stuff. I mean, it'd be interesting to listen to a discussion, 40 years from now about what happened on December 17th, 2000 for history's sake, but I don't know that anybody's going to be suing anybody over that 40 years from now. They run into a problem.
I mean, you'd be surprised. All kidding aside, I mean, I had litigation involving the construction and maintenance of earthen dams. And, there were records requests that went back 70 years that included any record related to the meeting when a bunch of people decided to build an earthen dam and who was going to pay for it. So you never know. You never know. There may be 40, 50 years from now, somebody wants to assert what occurred at a meeting. And nobody thought in 1929 that in the year 2000 there'd be litigation over who built a 600-foot earthen berm, which somebody later put a road on top of, which then washed out and flooded all the properties below it.
So back to the matter at hand. We could. Any discussion on the minutes policy? Hearing none?
I mean, I could go for it as long as the audio is in an ordinance that we keep the audio, because I think about people that can't get here. We can't have a dial-in number and the meet, you know what I mean? Like, there were people that can't get to the meeting, and if they can't hear the audio and they only see these shortened minutes that really just talk about the bare bones.
I think providing the audio is advantageous versus full transcripts written out of the minutes.
How long have we had audio?
5 years.
Yeah, basically.
On the webpage?
Well, on the web, we posted, I guess, yeah. We've had it.
Had audio.
As a tool for the minutes, we've had it for decades.
Yeah, because when I was mayor. I think
that's when we started posting.
Oh, since I've been here.
Posted it.
And none of that's been purged, correct? I mean, it's still there. We still have it on record, right?
No, they've been purged.
Because they were reel to reel?
Well, they were.
Again, there was no just to be clear, there was no obligation to preserve.
Right.
Or any local policy. So
we have to pass an ordinance to
retain it.
To retain those.
We have retained for quite a few years.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But the minutes were more verbose back then, too, I think, right? They weren't bare bones.
But the medium changes, and then we used to use the cassettes, and then it would break, they deteriorated and whatnot, so.
Never used 8-tracks?
No.
So if discussion is ended, is there a roll call vote on the motion?
Repeat the motion. If it's got the audio in it now, we have to.
We're going to.
That would be a separate ordinance.
That's separate.
Unless, I guess, for this year, we could amend this motion. Can we amend a motion once it's been seconded? I look to the attorney.
Yeah, you can. There can be a motion.
You can make a motion to amend this ordinance to add on that any existing audio files of minutes won't be purged.
Right.
and that future.
Is there a second for that amendment?
Include future and, audio, too.
Mm-hmm. Would you speak that clearly? I didn't hear Bev.
1 second. And future. So we would amend the motion to include that all existing and future audio recordings of meetings will not be purged. Is that your...
Existing and future.
And that the minutes will be the topic and the vote.
Correct. The minutes will be, as stated earlier, the time and place, members present, subjects considered, the actions taken, and the vote of each member. Is there a second for Ms. Kohler's motion to amend the motion?
Second.
Any further discussion on the motion to amend? Roll call on the amending of the motion.
Yes.
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 Yes. Any further discussion then on the motion as amended? Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. So with that in place, we now go to the minutes. Each minutes, we've got a long list here, partly because we've had, not because they go back a long time, but we've had a lot of special meetings and executive sessions, so there's a list. The first minutes are the regular meeting of November 17th. These were discussed at length in the last meeting. There was an amendment passed, but nothing was ever passed, so nothing was ever voted on. So we have three versions in our packet. All three versions are available for motion and discussion. My opinion would be that the suggested motion, the ones that are labeled Mayor Schmidt suggested amendments, I believe conform to the policy that we just agreed to and had agreed to in December.
That's closely to that.
So if someone has to make a motion for one of the other versions.
We did have a roll call vote on Tom's amendment.
And that's one of the versions here as well.
Yeah, I think his carried through on all because we had a vote on it.
Well, it wouldn't have to carry through on all. We're voting again tonight.
We never passed the minutes, so.
Okay.
So they can be reopened.
So they're open as a new discussion.
So we're not going to we don't have to rescind the roll call vote that we took to approve what Tom had.
No, that's
you would have had
version.
To do that if you had after the approval of Mr. McKee's motion that the minutes as a whole had been adopted.
Okay.
You would have to do that, but the minutes as a whole never made it that far. So okay. that is a version that's before you though. Would that include it?
So was there a motion on one of the other versions?
I'd like to just get this over with, and I'd say yours most closely it matches what we just discussed. So I make a motion for Mayor Schmidt's suggested amendment for November 17th, 2021 minutes.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Is there any further discussion on the November 17th minutes titled Mayor Schmidt Suggested Amendments? Roll call vote.
Really, the unfinished business should have some of that language moved if we're going to truly follow the topic and the votes. There's a little bit more dialogue there than everywhere else. Okay, otherwise, so I could agree with it.
Okay. So we'll extend that as discussion, but now there's a motion to adopt the minutes titled Mayor Schmidt Suggested Amendments, and that's been seconded. So there's a vote on that motion. We're voting on the motion for the first version, the version titled Mayor
Schmidt. The way it is, the way it's sitting.
Amendment.
Yeah. Okay.
Was that a vote?
Did you call roll call?
Yeah, that. Yeah. No. Sorry. No.
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yes. So the motion, November 17th minutes passed. Next, we have the minutes of the regular and executive session meetings of December 15th. If we take those two separately, so the December 15th minutes, as I mentioned in my comments, the motion for the minutes, so it's at the bottom of the first page, presentation of minutes, the motion is stated in the minutes as just motion by Mr. Lowell seconded. It doesn't state what the motion was. I would ask that we put into the record the motion that Mr. Lowell made. So my motion would be, and I transcribed this from the recording that I just played for everyone, motion to relook at the November 17th minutes to bring them back into policy of being topics and points of discussion. I would amend it to describe that that's what the motion was made by Mr. Lowell, seconded by Mr. McKee, carried by unanimous favorable roll call vote. Is there a second to include that information?
Yes.
Any discussion on including that information, amending those minutes?
Well, I think it didn't, you know, I guess it tabled it by the nature of what it was, but it didn't say why we tabled it. The action wasn't there. But yes.
There's no other discussion. Roll call vote on amending the minutes.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yes. So now we have the amended minutes for December 15th regular meeting. Is there any other discussion on those minutes? Or is there a motion to approve the minutes of the December 15th meeting as amended?
I'll make a motion to approve the December 15th, 2021 minutes as amended.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Then the December 15th minutes of the executive meeting. I recused myself from a significant portion of that, so I'll ask Mr. Lowell to lead that discussion. I'll abstain.
Is there a motion to approve the December 15th, 2021 minutes for executive session?
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Abstain. The minutes of the December 28th special meeting. Is there any comments or a motion to adopt the December 28th special meeting minutes?
So made.
Yeah. Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Executive session minutes of December 28th, 2022. Is there any discussion or a motion to adopt the executive session?
I'll make a motion to adopt the executive session minutes for December 28th, 2022.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. The reorganization minutes are still under final review, so those are tabled for tonight, if there's no objection. Then we have the minutes of the special meeting and special executive session meeting of January 13th. I will abstain from both of those minutes.
I have a comment on those. There's a missing word. Under response to grievance pursuant to terms of CWA Local 1040 Collective Bargaining Agreement, Mayor Schmidt recused himself from the discussion.
Motion to amend, unless there are any other amendments.
I'll make a motion to amend.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 I'll abstain.
I'll make a motion to approve the special meeting minutes as amended for January 13, 2022.
I'll second it.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Tell me if I'm missing anything here. We're at the January 19th minutes of the special meeting and special executive session. Any discussion on the January 19th minutes of either one? We'll take those together.
Can I add something to the January 19th of minutes where it says I was absent? Are we allowed to post the reason? Just say illness? Is that something we...
Yeah, it's permitted. Right. And there's actually a reason to that's it's advisable if it's illness as opposed to vacation or something.
So you
make I would make that motion.
To amend the after absent Guy Wilson due to illness?
Correct. I just don't want people to think I didn't show up for the heck of it.
So that's on the special and the executive.
And the executive, yep. So there's a motion to amend both minutes to add due to illness after Guy Wilson absent.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Is there a motion to adopt both the regular session and special executive session January 19th minutes as amended?
I'll make that motion to adopt the January 19th minutes of the special meeting and executive session with the amendment of illness for Guy Wilson absence.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
Abstain.
Yes.
Yes. Then we have the minutes of the regular meeting and executive session of January 19th, 2022. I would make the motion for Guy Wilson amended due to illness.
Second.
Roll call on amending.
Yes.
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 Yes. And then is there a motion to adopt the minutes from January 19th, regular and executive session?
I'll make the motion to adopt the regular and executive session meeting minutes from January 19th, 2022.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
Abstain.
Yes.
Yes. February 3rd, special meeting and special executive session minutes. Any discussion or motion to approve those minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve this meeting minutes of the special meeting and the minutes of this special executive session meeting minutes for February 3rd, 2022.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Oh, yes.
Yes. And that is the end of our minutes section of our agenda tonight. With that, we would now open for public comment limited to agenda items only. Is there a motion to open to public comment?
I'll make a motion to open to public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Limited to agenda items only, if anyone would like to make a comment.
Catherine Koch, Stratton River Road. I'm on the Environmental and Open Space Committee, and we are having our well test on May 14th. 9 a.m. to noon at the municipal building. That will be the pick up the kits and then to drop off the samples will be Monday, May 16th, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. We'll probably be doing this outdoors as we did last year and the year before, setting up in front of the door. Unless the weather's really miserable, then we'll go inside the door. I do ask for a key that day because to the building so that we have access to bathrooms and water. Or emergency kits or anything else we might need like that. But we had over 100 people last year, and we're anticipating a good crowd this year. We'll be advertising it. It's on the township website, and then there'll be an ad coming out when Raritan Headwaters has it designed, and it will be published on the website and various other social media, and I'll be handing out brochures and postcards and all that good stuff. So we're really hoping we have a really good turnout this year.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? Seeing none, is there a motion to close public comment?
So made.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next, we have the public hearing for Ordinance 2022-03. This is the so-called salary ordinance that sets the range of salaries for the various employees in the township. Unless there's any committee discussion, the first order of business would be to open a public hearing. Is there a motion to open the public hearing on the ordinance?
I'll make a motion to open a public hearing on the Ordinance 2022-03.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, if any member of the public has a comment on the salary ordinance, 2022-03. Seeing none, is there a motion to close the public hearing?
Make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, is there a motion to adopt Ordinance 2022-03, the salary ordinance?
Go ahead.
That's a tie there.
Yeah, it was. I'll make a motion to adopt Ordinance 2023 Salary Ordinance.
Second.
Roll call.
I said 2022-03. Yeah. Do you want to clarify?
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So then the first resolution on the agenda, 35-2022, is the salary resolution. This lists the specific salaries of all of the employees in the township for the year 2022. Any discussion by the committee? Is there a motion to adopt the salary ordinance resolution, salary resolution 35-2022?
I'll make a motion to adopt salary resolution number 35-2022.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next, resolution 36-2022, awarding a non-fair and open contract for Lebanon Township. This is to award the contract for the township engineer to Theodore Bear of Bear Reese Engineering for the year 2022. This contract is attached to the resolution. Any discussion or motion to adopt resolution 36-2022?
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution number 36-2022.
I'd second that.
Authorize the award of a non-fair and open contract for Ted Bear, Bear Reese Engineering for the township.
I'll second it.
There's no further discussion. Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next, resolution 37-2022, professional services contract for appraisal services. This is to appoint Victor DeSanto as the tax appeals and commercial property valuation appraiser for the year 2022. Contract is also attached to the resolution. Any discussion or a motion to pass? Or pass.
I'll make a motion for resolution 37-2022 for awarding the contract for Victor DeSalvo. DeSanto, sorry.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. This takes us to unfinished business. The first item on the agenda there is the memorial policy.
Yeah, and this first came on the agenda the last time Jane was here, as a matter of fact, so we have all that time. There are no changes, except I did find one typo on the last page under the procedure for applying for memorial. The first paragraph, second sentence from the bottom of the first paragraph, the township committee must approve all memorial requests, not approval. I forgot to change that.
I don't believe, Guy, you were here when this first came up, were you?
I think he was. It was his first meeting. He got sworn in.
Oh, okay.
November 17th?
Yes. You know, and just to go over it, it covers all the key pillars of the memorial policy, which is appropriateness of the item, the safety, the installation, the life cycle management, and some other parameters. And I know Matt said it has to be adopted by ordinance. And I don't know if we're even at that point yet, but I just...
I had some input. And I know I made these notes last time, but I would suggest right now the donations that would be covered by this policy include things like benches, plaques. Mm-hmm. We agree with that. Mm-hmm. Engraved pavers, I'm wondering if we couldn't carve out a donation program or some better word for it. Because if we're going to allot an area for 100 pavers, I don't think we need to approve each paver, but we would approve the program. So some wording like that. And I also had issues with, for example, under cost, at the end of the cost paragraph, where it says, and I fully agree with when someone donates, if there's going to be significant maintenance requirements, that we get a donation for the maintenance. But it says here that if things get damaged beyond repair before the expected useful life, that the unused portion of the maintenance would be returned. I'm just not sure that's practical. For example, if it's an estate that donates, or if an ad hoc group forms to make a memorial and they're gone, I think it's a risk that I think it could be just a risk that somebody takes. If we think it's going to last 10 years and a tree falls on the bench,
tree fell on the bench.
That'd be a real problem if there was an estate and it was closed 15 years ago. Exactly. The beneficiaries have already got the money, and God knows where they are. It's longer than that.
I mean, can't we just say that in part of the program that it just then gets...
Into the general fund of the park or something.
It gets turned into the general fund of the maintenance of the park.
Although this is more broad to the little library trust or the museum trust
right.
or wherever.
Right, yeah. Right. Relevant.
Whatever relevant.
Yeah, so are we okay with saying we want to take an initial donation for the maintenance of the... Is that something we want to do? Because that kind of ties in with it, too.
I'm okay with that concept.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, pavers, there's no maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
I think it also depends on what the item is that they're looking to donate. And I think part of it is, as we kind of said, is trying to get away from, as best they can, high maintenance items.
Well, I'm thinking about, remember the gazebo.
Yeah. Oh, right. But,
Yeah. And I'm remembering now when we first discussed it. I think if it's like a playground item, I could imagine
it's going to wear
if it
out.
If it needs something every 2 years, maybe we collect that up front,
mm-hmm.
case by case. But I think the other issue was something like even if it's a bench.
Mm-hmm.
If a bench is supposed to last 10 years, we're not guaranteeing that it's going to be there for 100 years.
Right.
I think in the donation we say that bench will be there for its expected life of 10 years. Because that was the gazebo problem.
It
fell down. There were no funds, and suddenly...
Now, when it comes to the ordinance, Matt, do we have to have, like a fee schedule and everything, or can we just do the policy itself and then fill in via resolutions or...
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be difficult based on... If you, the most advisable way to do it would be if you could set that fee in the ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're going to be setting it on a case-by-case basis. I understand that there's a wide array of potential donations or projects you're talking about, so I don't know that that can be done. That would be the ideal way to do it, whether it's categories. If the item is less than $500, the maintenance fee shall be X. If it's over $1,000, it's Y, and something along those lines. Would be the best way to address this out of the gate for the longest without all the back and forth, and it would give everybody who's charged with imposing it or dealing with it a standard template.
Okay.
Otherwise, if that's impossible, it would be an ongoing obligation to determine that. And
you wouldn't need to put the application with the, an application template with the ordinance. That could be something we just do off on the side, right?
You could do it off on the side, but again, it should be something that's adopted. That could be adopted by resolution.
Okay.
After the guts of what you've proposed is what needs to be in the ordinance. But if we're collecting fees, it does have to be codified.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's within this or within our general fee ordinance, obviously it makes more sense to be right in here. And again, I don't know that you'll ever get it to an exact science,
mm-hmm.
so it's probably best to try to quantify it relative to the cost of the improvement or whatever.
Yeah.
Obviously wood wears out, other materials don't, somebody argue, but I don't think, obviously our goal here is not to generate funds, it's to not get overwhelmed by the maintenance of multiple donations.
And I think some of this, like even with this policy, it can be expanded because you might want a certain type of a bench only in the park. Something like if you go to Lakota Wolf Preserve, they've got things that last forever. You can see how they're built.
A lot of things like that where I'm expecting then the person who's donating is donating it and that they're donating the object. There's not even a fee associated unless they want to maintain it. And that really comes down to do they want a maintenance and a maintenance fee,
mm-hmm.
or they understand there's an end of life. If basically we spell it out that there's an expected end of life, when it does... It's done. It's gone, and it's not getting replaced. So to try to stay away from some of those maintenance fees.
That's a good point. There are programs, whether they're pavers or benches, where the program says we offer this, which is memorial benches. They, our cost is four, you could spend $400, you could spend $800, whatever. But our cost is X. in order to quote, donate one in memory of somebody or in honor of your family or whoever, the cost is 400 plus 50 or 800 plus 100. And that way we control the items that go into our facilities, where if somebody doesn't come in with something else, which would require more consent and a harder time of determining what the upkeep. You buy an $800 bench, there's a strong expectation it's going to last.
Right.
The real problem you get in is you create a benched area and then someone wants to put a volleyball court there or something else and the benches go away. That's different. That's different where we would most likely relocate them.
Like the expectation, and I'm not sure, you know, the wording is unusual, how to get it across, is that these memorial thoughts or needs are pushed back to the groups, and I'm going to use the park just because it's the easiest one to explain it with. They come back and say, we want X, we want Y, we want Z, we want no more Bs because we got plenty of them.
Mm-hmm.
So in here to say, you know, the items of donation and the fee structures for pavers are then held in, you know, as that responsibility gets pushed to that park committee to say, you know, and then we could just approve for that year. So the committee approves that year their fee structure, what they want to as look at to get donated potentially on a yearly basis, so that everybody knows, hey, they're looking for bleachers, or they're looking for, you know, maybe they are looking for a bench, maybe they are looking for something else, and their pavers are going to be $400 this year. That's kind of the structure I'm trying to think how we could fit into this so it could be modified yearly on that end of it. This is the base structure, and then it points to them to give us the...
Again, you could set a maintenance fee that's a percentage of the purchase cost, the cost of the item. But we are trying to corral a bunch of different goals here. So as we all know, that can be difficult.
Well, I guess that my point is, can we, as part of this in the ordinance, not specify the fees, the objects, and point to those groups to provide that, and then on a yearly basis we essentially pass a resolution that says,
exactly,
yeah, these are items that are approved and this is the fee structure.
I would say this is that as a general rule, when we collect a fee, the fee has to be set by ordinance. You could probably do what you're talking about by amending the fee ordinance, which we do frequently because they lag and whatnot, but put it in the general fee ordinance and amend it every June or every January, whatever you choose. But the foundational point being is we don't want, you know, Greg is going to call me and say, why are we collecting these fees? And I don't know how to track them. I don't know if they're accurate. And our auditor's calling me because I can't point to a section that says, there it is. So that, you know, I think it can be done on an annual basis in order to provide the flexibility.
And I don't expect them to change the fees for some of these things every year. You know, the cost of a paver is probably going to stay the cost of a paver for a few years. But, you know, the biggest item I see as the item of a yearly change is what is part of that donation list, what they're looking for. You know, because that's going to change year to year as things they need get fulfilled, and the next year comes around and say, yeah, now we want to do this with the park.
Well, if we can identify...
Really
fee, if we,
that's
yeah.
just an approved list of what we say as a committee. Yeah, we like this idea. These are the items that can be part of the donations.
Again, I certainly don't want to make it any more difficult for people to donate proceeds and or items to the township, I understand. And again, certainly coming out in year one, it seems like identifying those numbers is doable, and as they change, just like everything else we do here, every as they change or they need to be changed, we'd have to take the appropriate action then. Again, a fee collection is different than a list of what is permitted. If you want to do year by year rolling resolutions to say, you know, this year we're no longer accepting trees. I had a town big tree problem because it was so successful, and I won't go into the details, but it became problematic to manage. So we could address it that way. Again, money comes in the door, somebody has to take it. Somebody has to know how much they're supposed to take, and somebody here counts that money and squares it up with what you, as the township committee, have laid down. So it has to be laid down
that I think
in
is
an
clear.
Order. Yeah, that.
I think
but
the clear, what I want to know is, like I said, the items, because then we can go and deal with what does the museum look for, what does the library look for, what, you know. So these lists could then be appropriate associated with those individual buildings, and again, they could be changed.
Yeah,
on
you
a
could,
yearly basis.
You can eliminate or add things. Sure, you could do that.
Could some of this be done on the application form itself and say a suggested maintenance fee along with? And let the donor fill that out with a little paragraph that basically says, we understand you want to donate item X, but you have to understand that item X is going to wear out after a period of time. And in order to preserve that item X, maybe suggest in the application form that they also donate a maintenance fee of some sort or a fee to cover that cost.
Well, if you want to make the maintenance fee optional, then yes. If you want to make it mandatory, then no. It has to be part of the code. And again, somebody who's not here tonight could possibly be the person who's taking these applications and these checks in, and they need clear guidance. And the only people with the authority is the township committee to set that.
Not have a maintenance fee. Just do an end of life. The fees
after
are
a certain number of years.
Are the pavers. We can put that in there because they're going to be the same value for a number of years, and just do it. It's an end of life. Come up with, hey, it's expected, and when it dies naturally or by, a lightning strike, it's end of its life. You know.
Do we also have an ability to refuse a donation? I mean, I could see a testamentary situation where somebody wants to leave something that they think is very valuable to the township, where most of the residents of the township committee might think it's a piece of junk, it's going to cost us money to maintain it. We have an ability to refuse that, correct?
We have a requirement to accept it, so to formally accept what you're talking about. It would require that. I mean, you're talking about something other. You're not talking about park benches and pavers.
All I can tell you is some people, when they do a will, they get a list of personal property, and they pass away, and you try to give that personal property to people, and you're stuck with it for years.
Sits in your office.
Aunt Gert's painting in the library or the house, you know, they think it's a piece of crap, and they don't want it.
No, understood. Understood. Nobody can force a municipality to take ownership of something, whether it be, it would require a formal vote that is discretionary action of the township committee.
And that's what I have here. The township committee reserves the right of full editorial control over content wording. I made sure that there was a lot of that in here.
Okay,
so
I saw that.
So I'm going to
redraft.
And I'll just try to expand. I've got some more information. I just wanted to do this in doses because it's got a lot of tentacles coming out of it in different areas. So I'll listen to everything we said again tonight, and then I can use that as well. So,
okay. And we'll move on to the newsletter. And I'll turn this over to Mark Lall.
Okay, so last time we discussed we wanted to put out a advertisement for the newsletter. I think everybody has what I put together based on discussions to figure out what is the role and the need. So should we take anything out? Should we add anything in? How should we thoughts?
The one thing I thought about with the flow,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to the payments of the vouchers and statements, could we kind of put them all in one location instead of they're a little bit interdispersed?
Sure.
So.
Do you want to specify it now or just to take a general direction?
Just a general direction on it. It just, that was the only thing I noticed.
Yeah, that can be moved down five lines or six lines, whatever it is.
The action we're potentially discussing right now is to run this in a newspaper, correct?
Correct.
Advertise in a newspaper.
Correct.
Okay. Is the newspaper clear? Is it,
our normal advertising papers. Do we get any guidance on what newspapers to run this ad in, or do we have the normal?
And then post it on the website, I imagine, too.
Yeah, typically, obviously, it is in the view,
You can put it on the website, too.
Yes, definitely the website.
Is there any motion to approve it, motion to do it with the modification from Bev, if there's any other thoughts?
March 1st is coming up quick.
We need to take action after the advertisement.
I understand.
So the discussion right now is to run the document that we have in front of us as an advertisement for a newsletter editor.
What is it, Mark, the proposal structure, provide quarterly pricing, is that on the applicant to provide?
Yeah.
Is that what that's, I just want to make sure that the person understands.
We can put proposal structure of applicant.
You might want to elaborate on that statement.
Okay. Because our current newsletter is about 16 pages, and if for some reason we want the person to run a 20-page because we want special items and we had a special event or something like that, you know, it can't be expected that they're going to just do another 4 pages of editorial work.
Right.
But also structure of what we have in the past to know that this is what we typically have. So if I, any other comment of changes?
No, there's other options, but I think the committee chose to go this direction at the last meeting to continue that. But there are other options. I looked into the home news that you talked about, and some of the towns have very nice more than I thought, but and it could be no cost to the township because the way they work. So just putting it out there, but I do think that you all felt that you wanted to keep the criteria the way it was. We talked about it, but there are options out there.
Yeah, we talked about that, and I think we can go this route and see where we are and see what we get back. And so if I make the change to submit the vouchers down so that it's all in the same structure, and clean up it so that it's clear for the applicant proposal structure. Any other modifications to change to this?
Is there a motion?
Why am I asking?
I'd make a motion that we go ahead and put this in the selected paper, which the clerk indicated would be the review. Also put it on the website with the clarification that was about the last item, quarterly pricing for a 16-page newsletter. But I don't think that needs to be clarified. You just asked the question.
What I want to clarify
proposal structure from applicant.
What they're trying to, that they need
basically
to give us
add,
this information.
At the end of proposal structure, say,
please propose whatever your...
Okay. Yes, proposal from applicant will include...
Yes.
That's probably the best way to then say it. You know, quarterly pricing for 16-page newsletter and provide per price pacing... per page pricing for additional page required over 16.
So the motion was to run this ad with Mark modifying the final wording given that input. Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. I think we need to take two other actions related to the newsletter. As Mr. Wilson just pointed out, the next newsletter date would be March 1st. I don't see by the time this runs that we're able to have a spring newsletter, so I think the committee needs to decide if we're going to, I think we need to cancel the March newsletter, and we've collected advertising revenues that I think need to be returned back to the advertisers.
Mm-hmm.
The question, detailed question there is some advertisers, as I've seen, pay for the full year. Some pay quarter by quarter. Do we expect that we're going to keep? Should we just return the first quarter?
Prorate.
Okay. So, is there a motion to cancel the March newsletter and return any advertising revenues for the March newsletter, and if they're annualized, prorated for the March newsletter?
I'd make that motion, but regrettably.
Yes.
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next item on the agenda is business administrator. That will be tabled until after executive session. There's no other unfinished business. First new business is police officer request to purchase memorial and department patches.
So they haven't gotten patches in 9 or 10 years. So this is to get have mal patches for all their uniforms, and you get price breaks at quantity. So mm-hmm. it's why there's a request for 500 of them, because they're embroidered patches. So it's the approval for the $1,350 for the 500 police department memorial and department patches.
Is that a motion?
A motion.
Second.
Any further discussion?
What would these patches say? Are they just symbols?
They're memorial patches. Identifying Lebanon Township Department that they have on the side that says they're, you know, Lebanon Township Police.
Oh, okay.
No further discussion. Then roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next request from the police to purchase a color laser printer.
They just need a new printer downstairs. $1,049.75.
Under state contract from Allied Document Solutions.
So I'll make the motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next, we have a request to approve the New Jersey State Firemen's Association application for membership of Karsten R. Janes. He's the president of the Volunteer Fire Department. Any discussion on that?
I have none. So I'll make a motion to approve the application of Karsten Janes to the New Jersey State Fire Association.
I'd second that.
Any further discussion? Is there a roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next on the agenda was the well test program, which Catherine Koch already gave us the details on. Raritan Headwaters co-sponsored, worked with us on it for May 14th, 2022. Should there be a motion to set that date for the well test? Or is it just...
Typically, you do it.
Okay. Then we'll do this. Okay.
So I'll make a motion to approve it, and depending on if they need access in the building or not, due to weather.
Well, she indicated for facilities.
And facilities, too. Oh, she can hold it all day.
Yes.
Just like me.
May 14th, 2022, with the drop-off of samples on May 16th, 2022. That's the motion.
That's the motion.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And then we have the EOSC request to seek proposal for a certified forester.
Adam, do you want to come up? You'll probably do as much better service than I will.
Adam Duckworth, chairman of the Environmental Open Space Commission. And Sharon Petzinger, member of the Environmental Open Space Commission.
All right. Hello, everyone. Adam Duckworth, chairman of the Environmental Commission, here with Sharon Petzinger, who's also part of the Environmental Commission. And we also have Nancy Lawler in the audience here, who's here to answer any questions you might have as well, also part of the Environmental Commission. So just to confirm, you should have two things up there. There was an email, I think, from Committeeman Law that provides some background. And then you have a very simple draft letter that we plan to send to some state foresters that we'd like to get some input from and some information from. So this is really the first step in a broader process here, and it's just a simple first step. We want to make sure that you're aware of it and that you're comfortable with us moving forward, getting some information, but we're not here today asking for any spend or to commit the township to anything at this point. Starting about 15 years ago or so, we really invested in preserving open space in the town, and that's in accordance with our master plan from the planning board. And it's really to the benefit of all of our residents here. There's very few people in town who drive by some of our open space that we own and, you know, hope it turns into a housing development someday. You know, this is really what preserves the character of the town. So we've done a pretty good job over the years preserving open space. Those opportunities seem to be shrinking a little bit more, and we're turning much more of our focus to making the most of what we have. So a lot of what we own as a township, we co-own with New Jersey Water Supply Authority as a partner for some of those open space properties. And we're really turning our focus to optimizing these open space properties and creating an asset for our residents. So some things we've done recently, we've made sure we've posted the boundaries to clearly mark out the open space that we have, because it is public property. People can go there and walk on it, hike on it, fish from it, even though we don't necessarily have trails built and things like that. We also started a deer management program this past season, which has been fairly successful. I think we have about 12, 13 hunters, mostly residents, that are now hunting those properties and helping us manage the deer populations. We've done some trail building, trail maintenance, etc., but we have an opportunity now with some funding available from the Highlands Council to really get some expert eyes on these open space properties and put together something called a forest stewardship plan. This plan really is intended to, number one, help us inventory what's on those open space properties. So it could be invasive plants that we might want to mitigate. It could be wetland areas that we want to identify. It could be areas where there's certain types of trees that are, I would say, very common. And we know that recently we had the emerald ash borer come through, and all the ash trees, for example, have died over the last few years. We have an opportunity to foresee some issues like that in the future and maybe do some things to prevent things like that from happening. So what we're here asking for is just your support in a first step to seek some examples of forest stewardship plans from state-approved foresters, which are the types of people we would be required to work with, to put together a statement of work that we would give to the Highlands Council to apply for a non-competitive grant. So this is money that's already set aside for Lebanon Township for us to use for planning purposes that are aligned with the regional master plan. So this money's there for us, you know, and this is something that they're excited to use it for, we're excited to use it for, our partners, New Jersey Water Supply Authority, are excited to use it for. And it would be to put together a forest stewardship plan that outlines, number one, what we have, number two, the goals that we have for those properties as a township, and then number three, some actions that we want to take towards those goals. And that plan does not commit us to anything. Even once we have that plan in place, we can choose to not do what's in the plan. We always have that opportunity. And this step here is really just your approval to reach out to four state-approved foresters to get examples of plans they've put together and resumes so that we can pick one of them to work with to build out that statement of work that would then go to the planning board. Sharon, did I miss anything? You want to add anything there?
Adam did a better job than I would ever would have. I just want to give you a little history of how this came about and why we're doing this now. The Highlands Council staff actually kind of talked to us, and this was their idea that they suggested that we do back in 2019. And we considered it, but we didn't act on it because there was really didn't seem to be like a vital need. We were busy with other things, getting the deer ordinance going, things like that, which is also awesome and very important. Last year, though, there was pending legislation that was introduced in the state called the Forest Stewardship Bills. And if passed, it would have mandated forest stewardship plans on public lands, all lands purchased by Green Acres funding, 25 acres and over. So it would have kind of made us have to create forest stewardship plans on our properties. And so we started looking into that and what that might look like. And then we started talking again about this grant money, that we can do that for free and kind of get ahead of the game.
Now, those bills were not passed, the sunset, and as far as I know, they have not been reintroduced, but that doesn't mean that they're dead. I know Senator Smith has created a forest stewardship task force to give recommendations on what future legislation should look like for how forest stewardship is to be conducted on public lands. So that includes state lands, and I'm assuming that includes municipal lands as well. Another initiative that's going on is DEP is launching a natural and working land strategy, which is going, I'm not sure if it's going to be regulatory or mandatory or just guidance at this point. It's still new. But that is focused on managing natural and working lands, and that includes public lands, to for climate change. So for focusing on carbon storage and carbon sequestration. And so these initiatives and pending legislation, which may be introduced next year, could dictate how we can and can't manage our lands. There is a push by some activists to kind of limit what we can do and why on public lands. And this is, you know, people not necessarily our residents, not necessarily natural resource professionals with expertise in forestry or wildlife habitat. And so I think right now is a good time to start this planning process, because if there one of these initiatives does end up restricting what we're allowed to do, it is highly likely that existing forest stewardship plans will be grandfathered in. And so I think that's why now is a good time to start pursuing this. So I just wanted to give that little history and update.
And I'll just add, too, it hasn't come up yet, that having a forest stewardship plan in place would also give us leeway in not having to go through a permitting process for every initiative or project that we want to do on a piece of property. So if we want, for example, want to go and clean up some invasive species on a certain piece of property now, we would likely need to go get a permit for that. And then if we do something different next year, we'd need to go get a permit for that. If we get a plan in place, which is typically a 10-year plan that outlines that as a goal for us, then and we get that plan approved, then we avoid the process of going through for all these individual permits over time.
Yes, thank you for reminding me. In October 2021, the DEP revised the Flood Hazard Control Act as well as the freshwater wetlands regulations. And in both of those, most of the forestry activities, stewardship activities, are exempt via permit by rule if they are covered under an approved forest stewardship plan. And so that's how we don't need to get certain, like GP16s or General Permit 16 or General Permit 8 for every project we have to do, as long as it's covered under forest stewardship plan. So that's another added benefit.
She's the expert on all that stuff.
So this is a plan where the Highland Council has up to $28,000 for the planning part of it. If you think past that and the plan is in place, although we're not committed to do it, then it would be up to the township to bring in, if you were going to get rid of invasive species, and that would be up to the township then to bring in like a tree company or whatever to clean that area up. Is that the ultimate end that you're looking at? And I'm not, you're not committed to it, I get it, but that's the idea behind this.
Yeah, so having the plan in place, so the Highlands Council focuses on planning. So they give us money for planning. But you're right, when it comes to execution,
we'll have a plan in place from the forester. He may mark whatever has to be marked for removal. You can say yes, you can say no, good idea. Would the Environmental Open Space Commission then put priorities on certain things so that you would come to the township and say, hey, this is a priority, this is necessary, this isn't as necessary when you have the plan?
Yeah, so I think we would specify some of that within the plan itself. You know, we could prioritize some of the goals there. We would also continue to seek grants to help us execute on the plan. Okay. And having the plan in place then gives us the foundation to get the other grants to actually execute. I don't want to speak on behalf of New Jersey Water Supply Authority also, but they're partners in this as well and have an interest in seeing a lot of this work done. So that could be an opportunity for funding for that as well. But again, we're not committed to do anything. So we could say unless we get a grant, we're not doing any of it.
Well, I could say I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, we do have a lot of open space, and we do see where there's invasive species overgrowing it, and it makes some sense to look into it. I just was hoping we thought about the other end of things, too. Yeah.
We have brainstormed a little bit on the implementation side of things because we don't have any secure funding. When it comes to something like invasive species, you know, that's something we can hire an herbicide applicator to do that if that's the case how we want it to be. Or we can use volunteers to handful. You know, we can make an education thing for some residents who want to learn how to control invasive species, help identify. So these are some things we've been thinking about, at least from the invasive species part. We're not going to have volunteers come in with chainsaws and do that. That's something, if we decide to go that route, you know, yeah, we would have to bring somebody in to do that safely.
Mm-hmm.
But we're geared more towards, like, the invasive species part and just getting people more involved in that. And also deer hunting can be a part of this as well, part of the plan, because that does impact our forests. And so we can kind of try to draw more hunters in and things like that. So.
Okay.
I think it's a great idea to proceed with that. I mean, in order to maintain your forests and open space, you have to manage them. And the biggest example of the failure to do that is the state of California, where they did not permit people to manage their land as far as trees and brush, and they had all these brush fires when it got very dry. And if they had just permitted residents and owners of public property to properly manage their forests, they might not have had all the trouble that they had. I mean, there's people that say you shouldn't cut down any trees. Well, that's wrong. In order to properly maintain a forest and in compliance with the Woodlands Management Plan, you have to cut certain trees down. There's understory. I mean, my property is under a stewardship plan. So those plans last 10 years. You're supposed to follow them. They get inspected by the state. They get inspected by your forester. So I think this is a great idea. If we've got all this land, and we've got some issues because, you know, the ash borer killing all the ash trees, we have to replace them with something. And I like the idea, the more trees you plant, I don't particularly care for what I heard about some municipality refusing trees. That's the most asinine thing I've ever heard in my life. I mean, it seems to me that this is a great idea and that we should move forward with that. Now, if it gets to the point where we actually have to do the work, I like the idea about volunteers. The only thing I would say with that is that each volunteer is going to have to sign some kind of indemnification and a whole harmless agreement, because if they drop the chainsaw on themselves, we don't want them suing the township.
Mm-hmm. No volunteer chainsaws. Not without being safety certified.
Actually, don't we have up to 75 people are covered with insurance?
Yeah.
So
secondary,
you know,
insurance.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure chainsaws.
Well.
Yeah, we can agree on that.
Or trees.
Hoes and loafers.
I think it's been done.
You cut the tree the wrong direction and it falls your way. Very easily happen.
And just to reiterate again, the only thing we're here today to really review is the letter we're going to send to foresters to get some resumes. We'll be back in front of you once we have an SOW before, you know, because it has to be formally approved. I'm not sure what we're doing here needs a motion or anything like that. But
I mean, I think we'd make a motion.
I think the motion we're discussing is
authorizing and encouraging, supporting the EOSC to send this letter to solicit forester proposals. If there's no further discussion, would you like to make that motion?
I'll make the motion if everybody's good. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll make the motion for the endorsement to solicit resumes and sample work from state-approved foresters for the EOSC to do that.
Second.
No further discussion. Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay.
All right. Thanks, all.
Thank you. Thank you guys very much. Next up would be presentation of vouchers, where we read out vouchers over $1,000.
I have one here for New Jersey Fire Equipment Company. This is the fire department. This is the last capital request from last year. A couple of items on here for their safety and tactical use is an amount of $5,106.20. That's the only one I have.
I have one for Griffith Allied Trucking for two gasoline deliveries for the police for $5,644.58.
That's it. I have the New Jersey State Health Benefit Plan for the February premium, $21,840.46. Statewide Insurance Fund, the first of four installments for workers' compensation and our umbrella liability policy. Combined amount is $54,146.25. And Vital Communications, our information provider for tax assessing and collecting, $1,167.
I have a number of vouchers to read, so bear with me. Griffith Allied Trucking, LLC, for $3,825.90 for diesel fuel. Patriotic Office Cleaning for cleaning the grounds. I guess this is the police department. December, January, $3,055. Is that the rest of the building or just the police department?
I say that's a lot of money.
It could be the library.
It says library, municipal building, library. So it's all three. So that sounds more reasonable. Homestead Lawn and Landscape, LLC. This is for plowing. $3,920. Again, Griffith Allied Trucking, LLC, for more diesel fuel, $4,714.40. Warshaw Generator, LLC, to service the three municipal-owned generators, $2,850. I guess that includes the fire company, too?
The three fire stations.
Three fire stations. And... no, that's it. It wasn't too bad.
I have none that apply.
So the total voucher list this month is this meeting is $108,111.36. Is there a motion to approve the voucher list?
I'll make a motion to approve the voucher list.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. That takes us to a couple of items of correspondence. Police Department report.
So that's just the yearly, the end-of-year report of all the activities of each by month, and you can kind of see what's going up, what's going down. So
I don't see the number on here, but the chief mentioned to me that they had something like 9,000 calls last year, up from something like 7,000 the year before and 6,000 the year before. So
these are just vehicle motor stops, written warnings, summons, DWIs, arrest, ordinance, motor vehicle crashes, operational reports, investigation reports. There's not the individual, because they also go to pretty much every fire call, right, everything like that. So that's total on just those items. It's 4,087 calls.
And increasing significantly, and for whatever reason.
Yeah, and just as a side note, we got 93 pounds of prescription drugs turned in last year through the prescription drug mailbox that's downstairs, but no better way to say it, but turned in.
Okay, Animal Control Officer's report for 2022?
Typical January. The only thing is... I had a conversation with Teresa. Can we send her, like, the past 2 years of these reports? Because she's the HELO officer, and she would like to just check them back with some of her records. That would be great.
Okay. No other correspondence. Then we would go to public comment on any topic any member of the public would like to address. Is there a motion to open public comment?
I'll make a motion to open to public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, any member of the public who would like to make a statement can come forward. Seeing none. Last call. Is there a motion to close public comment?
So made.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And we will be going into executive session under Resolution 382022 to discuss business administrator process, and there could be potential action there.